Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Today is October 30th of 2010. It is 10.05 a.m. my time, which, of course, in the UK would be 4.05 p.m. Happy Halloween, everybody. Not that I really celebrate holidays. We're going to be talking about that in just a moment. I wanted to say hello to everybody out there who is listening. I see a few people out there on Skype. I see Sean, and I see Mike, and I see Basil, and I see a bunch of other people out there. So hello, everybody. And if you have any interest in phoning into the show today, please feel free to do so. We have an action-packed show today. There's a lot of stuff, so I'm just going to have to kind of jump right into it. So this week has been kind of a weird week for me. Starting out with on Tuesday, I actually celebrated my 48th birthday. Now, I don't really do anything for my birthday. I don't really celebrate my birthdays. But the response I got on Facebook for my birthday was absolutely phenomenal, and I just cannot express more my appreciation for people who took the time to write to me on Facebook, not only on my front page, but also who would send me private messages, because it's very much appreciated. And this year, for some reason, I decided, oh my goodness me, just a moment, folks, technical difficulties, I need to play a trail for you.
Whether you've had a good day or a bad day, or just have something on your mind, I'm Stacy White from Oklahoma in the United States. Now, live on United Kingdom Radio on Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Come join me and talk about anything and everything. Talk, talk, and more talk, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Sundays on United Kingdom Radio.
Don't you just hate that? The telephone ringing in the middle of the show. Hello, Suko. Suko is online there. Yeah, that was unexpected. Just go figure. I normally don't play a trail this early in the show, but you know how it goes. I did now take the telephone off the hook, so you shouldn't be hearing anything now from anybody. So hello to Suko out there. She has no Nutcracker rehearsal today, so Suko's out there listening. Well, hello, Suko. Very good to hear from you. Anyway, what I was talking about, my birthday. And the sheer number of people who gave me birthday greetings, it was just really, really overwhelming. Just a moment, folks. Oh, the technical difficulties we have sometimes on this program. Now, if the phone rings again, it's very possible, because this is the election season here in Illinois, as it is everywhere in the U.S. We have the U.S. midterm elections are on Tuesday, and so there are a lot of phone calls going out right now to people from people who want them to vote for them, and quite a lot. It's robocalls and so on. That actually, what that just was on the telephone just now when the phone rang was a robocall from one of the Republicans who is running for office here in Illinois. And I've been getting a lot of calls. For some reason this year, this election cycle, it's all the Republicans who are calling me. And I'm really not sure why that is, because I'm not registered under either party. I'm a independent, always have been. And it's weird, you know, how it is this year. Suko was saying, oh my God, I missed your birthday. When was it? Well, it was on the 26th, dear. Not that I really advertised or anything. Now, Suko doesn't hang out on Facebook all that often, so she would not have seen that. But it got me thinking really about holidays, because I don't really observe my own birthday. Other people observe my birthday for me, and I just kind of go along for the ride. So, for example, in previous years, my boss has bought me lunch on my birthday. Now, that happened again this year, too, but I don't really do anything myself. You know, I just kind of like, okay, oh, today's my birthday. Wow, ooh, you know, and that's kind of it. And I've found that over the years what has happened is I've become that way about all holidays. really all holidays. And in part, and I have to say that probably in part, this has to do with my atheism. It's not the reason, but I find it really difficult to get worked up about holidays such as Christmas or Easter that are religious holidays. It doesn't, you know, they don't make any sense to me on any kind of real level. They're there because they, you know, are culturally embedded into our society. But I don't really have any need to celebrate them. And it's kind of the same way with my birthday. Now, I was thinking about this the other day because I had a discussion with young Mikey Holt from No Holds Barred. And I mentioned the autumnal equinox. And he didn't know what that was. Now, but the change of the season from summer to, you know, to summer to fall is the autumnal equinox. Just as the transition from fall to winter would be the winter solstice, and that usually happens around Christmas time. It's a time of year with the pagan religions called Yule in the UK. That's way before you know the Christians co-opted Yule as part of their holiday celebration. But it seems to me though, and I kind of mentioned this on my podcast. To me, those are the events that are real. There's no mystical component to them. This is something that actually happens in nature. This is, you know, a transition from one season to the next. And for that reason, as an atheist, those holidays appeal to me more than something like Christmas or Easter does. So I'd be really kind of interested in hearing what other people would have to say on that, whether, you know, there's other people who feel the same way about me, feel the same way about me. No, feel the same way about the holidays that I do. I find it very hard to get excited about, you know, the big holidays, and I don't observe them in any way. I don't put up decorations. I don't put up anything. Now, the one difficulty, of course, with, you know, when you're talking about these seasonal holidays, you know, the solstices and the equinoxes, if there's a lot of baggage attached to them. There's a lot of sort of new agey, pseudo-pagan baggage that's kind of tied to that. So if I say, well, I celebrate the solstices, I'll say, oh, you're a pagan, you know, you're celebrating Beltane or, you know, whatever the season is. And it's like, no, not really. I just, you know, that to me, that's what a real holiday should be. You're marking the year. And I kind of agree with that. Anyway, if anybody has any comments on that, they can feel free to contact the program. The program, the phone number in the UK is 020-328-7148. That's a local London number. If you are anywhere else in the world, you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio. Bob I Don't Know says, ooh, these kind of holidays, still can't call in as I don't pay much attention to them either. So, Will, you know, I'd be interested to find out, do you celebrate anything? Because I did kind of get into this mode, and I've kind of been in this mode for a long time now, where I just don't. The only holiday that I've really gone out and celebrated in the last 5 years has been New Year's. And that's mostly because I've got people around me. Last year, my best friend and his wife came for New Year's. And that was fantastic. That was a lot of fun. And this year, they're coming for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a civil holiday here, not a religious one. But I don't really celebrate that either. But they're coming actually for Thanksgiving this year, which is actually just a month away now, coming from Finland to celebrate my good friend Paul's 50th birthday. Hooray for that. That'll be they're going to Hawaii and spending some time there, and then they're going to stop, swing through Illinois, spend Thanksgiving Day with Paul's sister up in Rockford, and then they will be coming here to Chicago, and we'll spend the Friday after Thanksgiving together, Paul and his wife, and also myself and Pete. So that'll be all very exciting, and I'm looking forward to that, actually. So coming up in the show, we're going to talk a little bit about me taking Tommy Boyd to school. yeah, that'll be exciting. In the meantime, I do. Oh, you know what I do have? I have a new tribond. So here we go. I'm going to go ahead and play the tribond. If you can find the commonality between these three items, Skype or phone in, and we can talk about it. So here we go. Here's tribond.
Tribond, what do these three things have in common? John Crawl, Ozzie Smith, the Illinois State Bird.
All right, so that is tribond for today. If anybody knows the answer, please feel free to let us know. So, moving on. Suko is saying, if I had a kid, I would celebrate. You know, I don't know if that's true, Suko. I mean, it has so little meaning to me that maybe I wouldn't. Of course, yeah, see, kids have that whole peer pressure thing going on, don't they? All their little friends are celebrating Christmas or Hanukkah or Easter or whatever. Yeah, you're probably right. I probably would, just for the sake of the kids. But as it is, I wouldn't be enthusiastic about it. All right, so moving on. We have today in history. Today, October 30th in history, in 1270. Excuse me, folks, I need to... Okay. In 1270, the eighth and final crusade started. In 1534, the British Parliament enacted the Act of Supremacy, making Henry VIII the head of the Church of England, superseding the Pope. In 1775, the first U.S. Navy was formed. In 1864, the town of Helena, Montana was founded. Helena is the state capital of Montana. In 1868, John Menard of Louisiana became the first black congressman, the first African-American congressman, all the way back in 1868. In 1873, P.T. Barnum's Greatest Show on Earth debuted. In 1888, John J. Loud patented the ballpoint pen. Suko's calling me a killjoy. Oh, well, I don't know. There's probably some truth to that. Anyway, Suko, if you want to call in, please feel free. In 1905, Tsar Nicholas II of Russia granted civil liberties to the citizens and also accepted the first parliament in Russia, the Duma, which still exists today. In 1938, Orson Welles panicked America with his War of the Worlds broadcast. In 1952, Clarence Birdseye sold his first package of frozen peas. Now, Chris was saying, some time ago now, I was kind of amused by this, actually. Chris Reardon said that I would make a good Captain Birdseye. Because of my white beard. Now, folks, you know, I've kept my beard short during the summer, but it is now starting to get long again because we're getting into colder weather, and when I'm spending a lot of time outside, as I do in the winter when I'm walking home and stuff, I actually do grow my beard long. So this bushy beard that Oscar likes to talk about is coming back, folks. It'll be here for the winter. It's my Santa Claus look. Oh, Bob, I don't know, is saying, I don't do Christmas, birthdays, Easter, or anything I can think of. I don't put up decorations, and I'm trying to find somewhere to send my youngest this Christmas, so I don't even have to cook a big dinner for him. All he wants is his computer and a big dinner, so maybe I'll cook it for him as the rest of the family will be away this year. Well, just take him out to a carvery, dear. Just, you know, spend £3.50 for a carvery at the Saltine Tavern, like Chris Reardon. And then he can have as much as he wants. So, and it costs you £3.50. Yeah, that's, you know, we've done that. We, talking about years past, you know, these occasions when some people do these big holiday dinners, my friends and I have actually gone out and had, like, for example, we would have a Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving with my ex-wife's family. And then in the evening, we would actually go out to like Denny's or something with friends and just, you know, we'll have coffee and, you know, something light. No, not a big meal because we would have already had a big meal during the day. And I always enjoyed those, you know, kind of holiday evening get-togethers a lot more than I actually enjoy the holiday themselves. Okay, Suka, will do. I'm going to carry on for the moment, though. In 1952, Clarence Birdseye sold his first package of frozen peas, which I already mentioned. In 1954, the United States ended segregation in the armed services. Now, this is kind of important because we're seeing the same issue played out now. The U.S. military back before 1954 was segregated racially. And you had all black units, all African American, that is. And they were not mixing with white soldiers. And, of course, they were not treated the same way. They were not treated in the same manner that white soldiers were. They were not treated as well. And when President Truman segregated the armed services, you heard a lot of the same arguments that you're hearing now in regards to gays. Oh, well, we can't have blacks and whites serving together, staying in the same quarters. It would reduce morale. And it was the same arguments that they're now arguing about gay soldiers today. Now, I think that, you know, I have to admit, I've been disappointed in President Obama. I've been disappointed that he hasn't moved on this, because Don't Ask, Don't Tell was something that came very, very early in President Clinton's administration. And it's just one of those things that makes me wonder, you know, it's like does he intend to follow through with this or not? Anyway, I have a call coming in. Hello, on line 57. The U.S. military back before 19...
Turn off the stream, dear.
Segregated.
I did.
Oh, God.
It's all black.
The real player's on. Sorry.
Don't!
Okay, sorry. Suko, I turned off the website.
How are you, my dear?
I'm good. You know, first of all, I'm doing a Halloween special tomorrow, so for all you who do like to celebrate and are not killjoys, like Bob, I don't know, and Tom, join me because it will be packed with fun.
I'm gonna dress up as Chris Reardon this year for Halloween.
Well, that's one of the most common costumes. That's the most popular one this year.
It is. I'm gonna wear a pair of dirty old track pants, and I'm gonna shave the top of my head.
And you should see the Bob I Don't Know costume.
Ooh.
It comes with.
Maybe I should dress up as Bob I Don't Know.
It comes with cigarettes and liquor bottles.
A can of beer. Can of diet water, excuse me. That's all very exciting. So are you doing like a big Halloween to-do at your house or no?
No. We have trick-or-treaters, and Jade is 15. She just turned 15. She had a birthday last week. Happy birthday, Tom. I'm sorry I missed it.
Aw, no, that's fine, Suko.
And you know, it was Stephen Parker's the day before yours.
Indeed, yes. Yes,
on the 25th.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the last maybe 2 years, we haven't even decorated. But we have two little, beautiful little boys next door now. So Jade and I decorated for them.
Aww.
And they love it.
Oh, that's good.
It makes you feel good. You know, it's a secular holiday, so it's really, you know, originally it was, it did have religious links, but now it's secular, especially here in the United States. I don't know about other countries, but in most countries it's celebrated to honor the dead.
Right, and I gathered that in a lot of other countries, they really don't celebrate much at all.
No.
But
surprisingly, there are a lot that do.
I know that in my best friend in Finland, who I was just talking about earlier, they put out a jack-o'-lantern every year, and they get, you know, the weirdest looks from people, because that's not really something that they do in Finland. They don't really celebrate Halloween over there.
Yeah. Well, I'll be talking about Halloween around the world tomorrow and the origin of it, uh-huh. and the way that I celebrated it when I was a kid.
I don't come by this whole idea of not celebrating holidays, you know, as a result of my upbringing, because, you know, we certainly did, and certainly on Halloween when I was a kid, and probably all the way until I was, you know, 13 or so, excuse me, we would dress up and we would go out trick-or-treating like every other kid.
Yeah, it was a big thing. It actually was my favorite holiday. I liked it even better than Christmas.
Oh, probably. That's probably true for me, too. Christmases were always so disappointing when I was a kid.
Yeah, it was disappointing for us. We had no money.
Yeah, and it was the same way for us. And, you know, Halloween, at least you could go out and get candy from most of the people on the street. Yeah, we had a weird Halloween situation in my neighborhood when I was growing up, because when I was a kid, I lived in a neighborhood that it was about 70% Orthodox Jewish, and they don't celebrate Halloween. And if you rang their doorbell, they would get angry with you.
Well, you just egged the house then.
It would have
make
taken,
sure they're kosher eggs.
We would have spent a fortune on eggs. So we had to only ring the bell at houses that actually had their porch light on.
Uh-huh.
Because there were about, I'd say, you know, 50% of the houses on the street you couldn't go to.
Yeah.
So that was in order to get enough candy, you had to actually kind of range out, you know, several blocks and do a lot.
When I was a kid, we went for miles. I'm telling you, we went for miles. But nowadays, you don't send your kid too far away. You send them to places that you know are safe, and houses that you know are safe.
Yeah, I noticed. You know, also they have Halloween on different nights now. For example, not here because I live in Chicago, but I work in Evanston. And yesterday when I was walking home, I noticed that there were some parents with little kids out trick-or-treating. So that's quite early, really.
Yeah, that is early. But I'm actually hoping I get some trick-or-treaters while I'm on air tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah, that'd
be cute. You know, and I'll have them come in and say hello.
Oh, I thought
something.
You meant calling your show.
Yeah.
Trick-or-treat!
I do have something very special planned at the beginning and the end, so tune in.
Well, I'll be sure to try to listen to that tomorrow. Tomorrow is at 5 o'clock in the morning?
Well, oh, you know, the UK sets their clocks back tomorrow.
Well, don't we do the same?
No, we're next week. So next week you have to figure it into your show. Oh, I have to figure it in tomorrow.
So we'll be 5 hours different instead of 6 hours different. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's no big deal. But so, yeah, it's one of those things that you have to worry about, though.
Jade has a message for you.
Trick or treat.
I don't have any candy.
Oh, you better get that toilet paper out, Jade.
Yeah, I'm lucky because I live in a... Thank you, Jade, for trick-or-treating me. I actually don't have any candy, though. But anyway, people would find it very difficult to egg or toilet paper my place because I live in an apartment building.
Well, I do, too. Yeah, we do, too. So.
They could toilet paper the front gate, I suppose, or the tree out by the street.
Yeah, but that would be, you know, defacing... the home of some people who did give candy, so it wouldn't be right.
You know, it's funny. I've never had a trick-or-treater at this apartment.
We don't get too many in this building.
Yeah. We have a gate that you know, it's locked, and you have to have somebody buzz you in. And then it's six buildings. Now, the six buildings are connected to each other, but not you can't go from one building to the next. You actually have to go down into the courtyard and... you know, go across the courtyard to the other doors and go in that way. So there's another locked door inside. So they have to get through two locked doors to trick-or-treat. So it's not really worth it.
Oh, so you live in a posh gated community then?
I wouldn't call it that.
I live in a simple garden apartment on the top floor, the penthouse. We're on the penthouse.
If it's on the top floor, it's not a garden apartment, is it?
Well, I don't own the whole top floor.
Do you have the whole top floor? Okay.
No, I don't have the whole top
floor.
You're
just so posh, Zuko. Chris said you met George Takei this week.
I did.
You did? How is he doing?
He's lovely.
Ah.
He's lovely.
Oh, my.
I went to a reading of a play that's going to, a musical that he's going to be in. Right. It's not opening till 2012, but it was incredible.
Oh, nice. Very, very nice.
He was wonderful, adorable, tiny. He's tiny.
Uh-huh. Cool. So, did you have anything else to add, or should I let you go and let somebody else call in?
You can let somebody else call in.
All right, Zuko. Well, thank you so much for calling. I really do appreciate that.
Okay, Tom, and I'm glad you had a great birthday.
Thank you very much.
Everybody, call into my show or listen at least.
And what time is your show, dear?
Well, it's 5 o'clock UK time. It's 12 noon New York time, which would make it 12 a.m. in India.
All right, and 11 a.m. in Chicago. So thank you very much, Zuko, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, Tom.
Have a great day.
Yeah. Bye. Bye, Bob.
And that was lovely Zuko from Long Island, where they have coffee and talk. And that leads us to, I'm still doing Today in History, wasn't I? Yeah, I suppose I was. But it is the bottom of the hour. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play a trail. And I will be right back.
Hello, join me, Lee Mills, every Monday and Wednesday here on United Kingdom Radio. We'll be talking about the best topics around, such as today's birthdays and what happened on this day many years ago. So that's Mondays at 8 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Do join us, and don't forget. And if you do forget and you miss out, then you can catch up on the podcasts. We'll see you soon.
Hello, join me, Sean Richards, on United Kingdom Radio. I'll have some weird and wonderful chit-chat, jokes, funny facts, phone calls and Skype calls, and, if you're all good, a competition. No prizes, it's just for fun. So come and join me on United Kingdom Radio every Saturday between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. See you soon.
And that was young Sean Riches, who will be following me at 5 p.m. UK time. So be sure to stay tuned for Sean in his brand spanking new studio. And once again, I'm going to play the Tribond clip for this week. And if anybody knows what these three things have in common, they should let us know here over the Skype. Or indeed, you can call in at 020-3287-1488.
Tribond, what do these three things have in common? John Crawl, Ozzie Smith, the Illinois State Bird.
All right, so that is the Tribond for this week. Bob I Don't Know says, the sky is blue, the grass is green, have you got a penny for the Halloween? If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny will do. If you haven't got a halfpenny, then God bless you. That is the rhyme we used to sing as children when we visited neighbors' houses while carrying a lit turnip, or sweet or rutabaga, depending on where you come from. Begging, I guess, and not a sweet candy involved. That's very interesting. Now, so that you're actually kind of begging for money then. Oh, that's kind of interesting. We had a couple different ones that we would chant when I was kids. I'm sorry, I'm just amused by that. But we would say, trick or treat, money or eats, give me something good to eat. Now that's the polite one. The less polite one would be trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat. So that's what we said here. I wonder, you know, because that is the sort of thing that you have these regionalisms. So you're going to have them, I think, in different parts of the country, they'll say different stuff. So if I love that sort of thing. Those are called, in linguistics, those are called isoglosses. And I'm always interested in hearing how that differs from location to location. So if anybody knows that, I would love to hear about it. Anyway, back to today in history, since I'm still working on that. And then we'll talk about Tommy Boyd for a few minutes. All right. In 1968, Jacqueline Kennedy married Aristotle Onassis. Yeah, that was the widow of our late President Kennedy. In 1990, the UK and France completed the Channel. Hooray! I've been through the Channel. I've been through a couple times, actually, and I thought it was fantastic. Just, you know, I can only imagine how that has changed. I can remember the first couple times I went over the English Channel having to take these ferry boats, and that was kind of a pain in the butt. In 1995, Quebec voted to remain part of Canada. I remember that. All right, so today's birthday. There's a lot of birthdays today, too. This is just one of those action-packed weeks on Today in History. Incidentally, Lee Mills has stolen my topic, my feature. We need to get Stacy White involved here, I think. Except that Stacy White has stolen the feature as well. All right, birthdays today, October 30th birthdays. In 1632, Richard Brinsley Sheridan was born. He was a playwright. Who wrote the I think it's considered really kind of the first modern play, which is called The School for Scandal. In 1683, King George II of Great Britain was born in Germany. I think, is he the one who never even went to England? I think maybe that was his father, George I, who didn't even speak English. In 1735, John Adams was born, John Adams being one of our founding fathers here in the States and the second president of the U.S. He was also the first vice president of the U.S. under President George Washington. In 1893, Charles Atlas was born, the bodybuilder. Anybody who grew up reading comic books in the 1970s will know who Charles Atlas was. His real name is Angelo Siciliano. I think he died back in probably the 60s. But his company carried on and is still in business today, as I understand. In 1921, actor Charles Bronson was born. In 1933, presidential candidate Michael Dukakis, who ran against the first George Bush back in 1988? Yeah, 1988, he lost to the first George Bush. In 1939, Grace Slick of the Jefferson Airplane, one of my favorite 60s bands. And I love Grace Slick. She is awesome. And I bet Suco has met Grace Slick. I would be willing to bet money that Suco has met Grace Slick. I bet you a penny, at least a penny. Okay. And in 1945, actor Henry Winkler, otherwise known as the Fonz. Yeah, I just had to throw that in. That was highly unamusing. Anyhow, that was Today in History for today, October 30th. If anybody would like to call in, now's a good time to do so. And once again, the Skype address is United Kingdom Radio. Or if you're in the UK, you can call 020-328-7188. Okay, so getting on to my second topic here. Now, you've all heard me kind of talk about verifying sources and not believing everything you hear and doing your own research and not spreading disinformation. And there was an incident this week where I was listening to a podcast. In this case, it was the third of the Pubcast podcasts from Tommy Boyd. Now, I'm not what you would call a Tommy Boyd fan. I used to listen to him on Play Radio when I was waiting for Chris's show to come on. He would come on Play Radio before Chris. And I know that Chris has spoken very highly of Tommy. But on this podcast, he kind of related an anecdote that kind of stuck in my craw because it's one of those things that gets passed around in emails. Now, you know that I've talked about that before on this program. And the sort of anything that you get in an email, folks, is not something that you should take for granted. It's being true. I would say if you get it in email, the first thing you should go do is look at like Snopes.com, factcheck.org, especially for these political ones that seem to be so popular today. But Tommy related to the story had nothing to do with politics. It had to do with Japan. And he was saying that, you know, he related this to sort of anecdotal thing that said that the Portuguese, who were, of course, the first Europeans to have contact with Japan, brought the word arigato to Japan because Japan did not have a term for thank you before the Portuguese arrived. And immediately my bullshit meter went off and kind of started to look into this. And, of course, I found out that this was not true. Now, the word for thank you in Japanese is arigato, or more correctly, arigato gozaimasu. The word for thank you in Portuguese is obrigado. So you can see that there is some similarity here. But the two aren't connected. And anybody who says that they are connected is not really playing with the entire set of facts. So I did a little bit of research, and I wrote a message on Tommy's message board, and I'm not sure that this thread is going to remain. So I decided I would kind of read it out on the show and just kind of give an example here. Okay, so I left a comment on his message board and said the following. Tommy, I'm afraid your story of the Portuguese introducing thank you to Japan is completely demonstrably false. Arigato is short for arigato gozaimasu, which is derived from the term arigatai. That has a clearly documented etymology going back over 1,000 years before any Westerners came to Japan. I suppose it's possible that the Portuguese obrigado may have been borrowed from the Japanese, but more than likely it's just a coincidence. Now, 3 days later, I got a reply. He says, document away then. And if you get a moment, add why you didn't document in the first place. P.S. The Japanese word for gasoline is gasurin, and beer is biru. Coincidence also? So kind of a snarky reply. And I replied with the following. Nope. The latter two words are simply loan words. The Japanese term for that is gairaigo. Japanese, like most other languages, has a lot of them. They're signified as such by their spelling in the katakana alphabet, as opposed to hiragana or kanji. If anybody is confused about that, you know, they can ask me. I'll explain that. And I included a couple of references on arigato to get him started. One of them is a link to Wiktionary, which has an etymology in English of the term arigato. And then I also posted a link to the article in Wikipedia on the book of poetry called the Manyo Shu. So I continuing on with my email here. I included the latter reference because of the oldest extant documented use of arigato as a term of gratitude appears in the Manyo Shu, a book of poetry from the 8th century. They use the more archaic term arigatashi, but it's there, and it's an expression of gratitude. So much for the idea that the Portuguese introduced thank you. Even in its modern form, arigato, it has existed for more than 100 years before the Portuguese arrived. Unfortunately, it's difficult to find Japanese etymologies in English. If you want a Japanese source, I could probably get a hold of some. My Japanese is rather rusty, but I could probably hook you up. So now that I've done this much, Tommy, perhaps you could cite a linguistic source that supports your assertion. The resemblance between the Portuguese and Japanese terms is interesting, but I have yet to see a single linguistic source that doesn't chalk it down to coincidence. Incidentally, neither Portuguese nor Japanese sources identify arigato as a loan word. Cheers. Cheers from Tom. And I got kind of a rude response, actually, from Tommy on this. He wrote, says, the source is myself. Observations made during the period I spent preparing to become a samurai. Yeah, I can imagine that. Do you think that Tommy Boyd actually studied to become a samurai? Obviously, he's never been to Japan. In response to that, I posted a message saying that watching old Toshiro Mifune movies doesn't really count. I then posted another article saying another discussion of the issues here. I posted a link to linguistlist.org, and it was a discussion between three linguists on the origins of arigato and how it was not derived from the Portuguese. And I've come up comment. It's a bit technical, but the members of the discussion are mostly linguists. They cite instances of the modern form as far back as the 11th century, some 500 years before the Portuguese. Tommy writes back, just quote the quotation, don't give people jobs. Now, my comment to that is, well, it seems to me that you need the work, Tommy. I'm the one who has the radio show, not you. I've shown pretty conclusively that your anecdote is wrong. If you have any information on this that you didn't pull out of your bum, please do share. Otherwise, we can all assume that once again, you don't know what you're talking about. Do you think I was too much of a jerk here? I don't know. These things just kind of stick in my craw because these are our examples of folk knowledge. These are sort of things that are passed down from mouth to mouth and are not based in any kind of fact whatsoever. And I go on and on and on my show about taking responsibility for, you know, the accuracy. If you're going to quote something, quote it accurately. If you're going to, you know, come up with a crackpot idea, be prepared to support that idea. And in this case, you know, Tommy has quite clearly failed to do so. And I got nothing against the guy, but I think that when you get into a situation like this, where you're passing around false information, you should be willing to look at the facts and do a little bit of research on your own. Instead of intending that people, you know, prove you wrong, do all this work to prove you wrong, why don't you just do the damn research to begin with and get it right to start? And that's kind of my point. You know, I talk on and on about this, but basically, you know, it seems to me that if you're a broadcaster and you're going to go around making claims like this, you should be willing to back them up with some sort of evidence. Otherwise, you're just pulling it out your behind. And that's kind of how I feel about this. And I don't know that that I'll be censored in this case, but it could happen, you know, because I've pretty much proven the guy wrong. But it does stick in my craw, you know, because there's a lot of ignorance about other cultures. And I think the least we can do when we're actually talking about other cultures in a public forum is to verify that what we're saying is correct. And of course, if I get anything wrong, please correct me, because I actually welcome that. I would actually like to be corrected on these things. As again, the Skype address for the show, if you have any comments on this or anything else, is... Bob, I don't know, is saying that she nodded off just then. All I think is that you will not be... Will not be what? Will not be... Oh, I would not be on Tommy Boyd's Christmas card list anymore. That's probably true, but I wasn't on Mr. Boyd's Christmas card list to begin with. But don't you think that you know, rather than be snarky and you know, that he should actually just look it up? Because now I'll tell you something. Something very interesting here. I did a lot of research into this after Tommy Boyd's show, after I listened to this and it's kind of set off my bullshit meter, like I said. And I went and I looked this all up. I could not find a single linguistic source anywhere on the internet that would support this anecdote. 5 minutes of research on Tommy Boyd's part would have disproven the story. Why does he need me to do it? I don't know. Maybe it's just laziness. I hesitate to say, my folks. Anyway, you can call in 020-328-7188. Or indeed, you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio. Bob, I don't know. Why don't you call in? I always do love hearing from you. And you can tell me what your Halloween plans are, if anybody has any thoughts on that. Would love to hear from you. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and play a couple of trails, and I'll be right back.
The Mouth of the Time on United Kingdom Radio.
Tell me about the best moments, Lee, in your life.
Well, of course, it's being a part of United Kingdom Radio, isn't it?
Have you passed any recent exams?
Oh, yeah. I now know how to test equipment.
Isn't that one of them one-day courses you go on, though?
Yeah, well, it was an exam. I passed it. I thought it was just, you go up to the object, you pat it, and that's it.
Yep, that works. Pat on the top of the kettle or pat on the microwave and go, yep, that works. That's fine. I was watching The Real Hustle and there was one scam that they had to do, and it was to replace the chassis number inside the car.
Oh, yeah, with a sticker.
Yes, did you see that one? Did you see what happened?
Yeah. That was very good.
Scandalous, wasn't it? But it can happen, though.
They conned both ends, didn't they?
They did, yeah. They conned the woman who was selling it and the buyers.
Yeah.
What do you look for in a relationship, Lee? What sort of brought you to her?
Well, her feet, really.
I thought you were going to say something sarcastic like that. I knew it. I absolutely knew it. I'm going to ask you the best moments in your life, but I already know one of them, and that would have to be your daughter, Jade.
The day we got our daughter.
Yeah, that must have been a fantastic day for you.
For those who don't know, my daughter is adopted from China.
How did you research adopting a Chinese baby? Was there much research into it? Or?
You know, it was a new thing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly new. When we were in China, we went there in 95 for vacation, because we went to Japan to visit my family, and then decided, well, we're so close, why don't we go to China? So we did that.
Mm-hmm.
We were in China, and the children are just so beautiful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one child policy, so you don't see too many girls.
Mm-hmm.
They want the boys because they have no social security system. This is all changing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is back in 1995. And Jade knows this. We visited the site where she was left. At 3 days old, she was left outside a government office. And everything we did had to be notarized,
mm-hmm,
and then authenticated on the state level, on the county level, and then on the state level, too.
The Mouth of the Time on United Kingdom Radio.
Hi, it's Suko. I'm wiping the slate clean. From here on in, it's a new, edgier Suko. More politics, more opinions, more debates. Wait, did I say that? Well, maybe just a soupçon of edge. Soupçon, you say? Look it up. What am I, your doormat? And no more kissing up to me for parcels from New York. I don't buy it. Wait, did you say I sound sexy? Well, perhaps something small. Listen Sundays at 5 p.m. UK time.
That was the lovely Suko, who will be on tomorrow. We do have a call coming in here, if I can actually bother. Where is it? Hang on a second. We do have a call coming in here, and I'm just waiting for Bob. Hello, how are you?
Drat. Good afternoon, Mr. Harris.
Drat. Oh, you caught me during the trail, dear.
Sorry, dear?
Oh, so you caught me playing a trail, so I had to wait till the trail was over before picking
That's
up your
call. That's okay. No, I was just hoping that it was Mike Collins and it was going to last till the end of the show, so I wouldn't have to call.
You know, we need new trails. All the trails are out of date now, including mine.
Yes, they are.
We all need to do new trails. I think that should be our project this week, folks. Make new trails.
Yes, instead of throwing eggs at people or giving them horrible sweets that are just going to rot their teeth.
Uh-huh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Lord knows I've had too many of those over the years. So any big Halloween plans there, Bob?
Ignore it. Turn out the lights so nobody knocks at the door.
Uh-huh. You could put like a menorah out and everyone would think you're Jewish and not want to come.
Well, actually, what I could do is to just open the door and just... The kids are going to be so scared and they'll scream. Anyway.
That's what I do.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, where I live now, we don't get many kids knocking at the door. The last few years, nobody's knocked at the door at all.
Yeah, and it's similar in this neighborhood. You know, when you, I live in a neighborhood that's mostly apartment buildings, and I think that trick-or-treating is more a suburb thing. You know,
Yeah.
Kind of out.
You have single. Well, nobody feels safe with the kids these days anyway, do they? To let them out.
Well, especially not my neighborhood.
I mean, where I used to live. I think you were saying earlier on about the different age groups and that they go out at different times.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of dusk time. And then either the older kids or the parents will be taking the little ones out.
Right.
So what are you talking about? I don't know, 5, 6 o'clock at night?
Uh-huh.
Half an hour later, by the time the whole block of kids has been to your door, there's no sweets left. It doesn't matter how many you bought.
Uh-huh.
And then the older ones come around later on going, hey, you got anything left for us? No. You're 19. You're not getting any. Go away.
In my opinion, that's too old to be trick-or-treating.
But they try it.
Yeah, they try. Free candy!
Without any costumes or anything.
What's not to love about free candy?
I rarely eat it these days. Though saying that, my son did buy me a chocolate orange the other day, bless him.
Aw, that was very nice.
With nice Christmas pictures on it.
Aw, yeah.
Which I was quite confused about, but anyway.
We've got Christmas in the stores here already, yeah.
So,
it's earlier every year.
Ignoring Halloween, really ignoring Christmas.
Next thing you know, actually, this is a great idea. I think this is a great idea. Suko, you should totally steal this idea from me. Go out to the store and get bags of chocolate Santa Clauses and hand them out on Halloween.
I love it.
Oh, wait, I've got a sound effect for that. Hang on.
I love it.
There we go. I love it, too. Yeah. So you get like Easter bunnies, chocolate Easter bunnies, and hand them out at Halloween.
Yeah, they should be available in about a fortnight. I think it might be a bit late for them.
What? I'm sorry?
The Easter bunnies. I don't think they're in the shops for another 2 weeks yet.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
a little bit late. You're going to miss out. They have to get rid of the Halloween stock first to make room for the Easter bunnies.
Right. Well, what you do is you go out and you buy when the Easter bunnies are on clearance right after Easter, and you go out and you buy all this Easter candy, and then you hand it out at Halloween time.
Out of date these days, though. Yeah. Chocolate only seems to last a few months.
Well, I don't know. I've known some... You know, I don't know if you had this when you were a kid, but when I was a little kid, we would go over to relatives' house, to like older people, like friends of my grandparents or stuff like this.
Yeah.
And they always had on their coffee table in their living room a candy dish full of candy that is probably 25 years old.
Yes.
And it's all stuck together. And you can't actually eat any of it.
No, it looks good, doesn't it? It looks the part.
Right. And they would only bring this out every, twice a year when they had visitors come over.
But I'm also puzzled about, the dates of things these days.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. It's like, we've got a Christmas pudding in the cupboard.
Uh-huh.
And it says matured for 18 months.
Okay.
And, it's now out of date because once they put it out on sale, it's only... apparently usable for 6 months. Well, why mature it for 18 months beforehand? Why not just mature it for a year and then keep it for another year at home?
I suppose.
You know, it's like at Christmas, people get too full to eat the Christmas pudding.
You know, I don't think I've ever had a Christmas pudding.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we don't. It's not a tradition we have here.
You're not missing out on much, to be perfectly
honest. it's like a sponge cake or something, isn't it?
No, it's all fruit. It's basically just condensed fruit with a little bit of...
Oh, it's like, it's a fruit cake.
Sponge over it. Yes, but you've got to get the right ones with lashings and lashings of alcohol in.
Oh, well, yeah, of course, yeah. And then you have to eat about 5 of them to get drunk.
That's right, then you've got to put more alcohol on the top and set fire to that, but anyway.
All right. Yeah, have you ever had... Now, this was a Christmas thing in my family, and I haven't had it for years. But rum balls, they're called.
No.
They're like this chocolate cake, and it's very, very, very moist because it's infused with rum.
Ah.
And I'm allergic to rum.
It sounds a lot like the Christmas pudding, then. That's the basis of it. But they just cram all the fruit in as well.
Okay, that could be kind of the same thing.
Yeah, because you soak the fruit in the rum or brandy or whatever.
Yeah. Sean is asking, can you log into Skype? Yeah, go ahead, Sean. You can log into Skype. Just don't say anything. Steven is saying he missed most of the show. Darned creative interests. Well, you can always listen to the podcast, Steven. Steven, of course, has a show here on Sunday morning. So you can go listen to Steven Parker, otherwise known as Atticus Stout.
Sunday morning, has he moved again?
You are still on Sunday morning, aren't you, Stephen? I think so. Yeah, I think he's on before Suko, unless he's changed.
Oh, it's not Sunday morning for you. Don't confuse me.
Well, yeah, we're 6 hours behind you, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you live in the future.
I know, it's great, isn't it?
I know. I get a, on New Year's when my best friend hasn't been here for New Year's, we've always made fun of that. And, you know, he'll call me from the future.
Yeah, I used to do that with my friends, you know, in America.
You can still do that.
Well, yes, I mean, it's been a while since it's been New Year's Eve.
That is true. Yeah, but I'm looking, you know, New Year's has always been kind of the one holiday I have observed.
Yes, but then it's because I've moved where I've moved now, there's not that many friends and family around.
Right.
So, but, you know, when growing up, it was always a great big party.
Oh, yeah. And you and put these a lampshade
under it. Just a couple of drinks, watch the TV, and...
Yeah. Well, that's mostly what it's been for me, too. I mean, last year we went, Pete and I went to downtown Chicago with Paul and his wife. And we went to an Irish pub, sort of a Chicago neighborhood Irish pub. Because we have a ton of Irish pubs here. They're not really authentic.
I've seen them on the telly.
So, so what I was saying about the Irish pubs, you know, that they're not really authentically Irish. They're more just sort of a Chicago neighborhood kind of pub.
Yeah.
And the, so what we did was we were going to go to this other pub, this kind of a highfalutin, kind of ritzy place, and then spend midnight there. So we went over there about 11:30. We decided we were going to go to this other pub. When we got there, after walking like 6 blocks or something, they were full and they wouldn't let us in.
Popular, yes. See, people save the money up to go out somewhere posh in New Year, don't they?
Yeah. And we were thinking that because this place was kind of near their hotel, that it would be a good place to go. But we couldn't go there so we ended up going back to the pub that where we started. And then spent New Year's in. They actually bring in the New Year there. We were there for a couple hours after midnight. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of it. And it was a lot of fun. It was the first time I'd been out for New Year's Eve for years and years and years.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I was out New Year. What people used to do, I mean, pubs, well, back in the day when I was going out New Year, pre-children, obviously, it was the pubs used to close at 11 o'clock anyway.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Everybody would be out of there at 11 o'clock and then all back to go back to one person's house for a party.
Uh-huh.
Where I used to live, everybody would be having a party.
Uh-huh.
So you'd just start at one end of the road, go in, have one drink in each house, and be absolutely rattled by the time you walked up the street. Well, probably halfway down, if you visit some of the streets, but quite long.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we put a big spread on, all the food and everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that,
and
different.
When I moved down south, it wasn't like that at all.
Yeah, it's a lot different.
People go out.
I can remember going to my grandparents' house on New Year's Eve and having carbonated grape juice, you know, the fake champagne.
Right.
Yeah. Of course, we were kids, obviously.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I wanted to finish the story so I could include it with the podcast.
That'd be brilliant. Yes, a little bit of editing.
So I have to apologize to all my listeners out there for running over time and not being able to listen live. But, you know, that's how it goes.
Well, it encourages people to listen to podcasts. Yeah.
But, of course, many thanks to Bob I Don't Know for calling in. And I will see you next week on Tom Harris Live. And good night for now.